listening to the Golf Tactical Podcast, where we build your mental golf game through tactical thinking.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Golf Tactical Podcast. This is episode 3, and we're going to be talking about position number 3 in this episode, and that is the area around the green. And the last few episodes we talked about reference point, which is picking out an area in the fairway, the 150 marker, and using that as a way to work your way back to the tee and to strategize the best approach for your tee shot. In another one of our episodes, we talked about position 2, which was in the fairway, and strategizing how to get out of trouble areas, how to play from the rough, how to evaluate one's lie so you have the best chance of getting the ball on the green in regulation. And in regulation, that means on the green in 2, or on if it's a par 4. On the green in 3 if it's a par 5, and on the green in 1 if it's a par 3. So today we're going to talk a lot about short game in this episode. And this kind of just brings me back to a quote that I remember reading from Harvey Penick, who is regarded as one of the greatest golf teachers there was. He was the golf teacher for Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite, and he worked with many very, very good women professionals. In addition to them, I believe Mickey Wright was one of the women professionals that he worked with for some time. Not exclusively, but he did spend some time. He was a professional golfer, club professional at Austin Country Club in Texas, and he worked with a lot of really good players. And I believe he worked with the University of Texas. I believe it was the University of Texas golf team. May have been Austin, University of Austin's. Golf program, their collegiate golf program. So, the quote that I remember that I believe is attributable to Harvey Penick, it's something to the effect of, you know, should never fear an opponent or a competitor with a good swing and a poor short game, but you must always fear a competitor with a bad golf swing and a great short game. And it just really goes to show you how important the short game is. These are the chips and finesse shots that you would hit around the green. And another quote that comes to my mind, you know, in regards to short game is Bobby Jones had a quote where, you know, the secret to the short game is turning 3 shots into 2. And that really is the truth. There's a lot of truth to that. So one of the things that I want to talk about in regards to the short game, and we're just talking about this position 3 around the green, and we're in now, we've hit a shot up around the green, and let's just assume we've not got on the green, because it is difficult to be a good enough ball striker to hit greens all the time. The professionals are good enough. They spend hours and hours and hours working on their iron play to where they can do that, but for all of us, the average players and people that don't spend nearly as much time on the driving range, it's much harder to hit those greens, as I said, in regulation. So let's just assume that we've missed a green, and we need to try to do, as Bobby Jones says, turn 3 strokes into 2. One of the key things that you've got to always remember is your ball's position off the green in relation to the hole being uphill or downhill. You really want to always try to play and keep the ball below the hole. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about, you know, if the hole is on a slope and there's a slight incline and you're in a lower position than where the hole is, if you were to hit the ball past the hole, you've reduced your chances of making the comeback putt because you have a more difficult type of a shot. You have a downhill putt. You always have a higher percentage chance of converting your up and down from off the green when you're putting uphill, when you're putting to an uphill position. And I don't know why that is. I guess it's just gives you a better vantage point. I've read some things that show that the back lip of the hole is in a higher position. It's a few degrees above the front edge of the hole, and so it's easier for putts to hit that back edge and drop in. But in general, it is much easier to keep the ball below the hole and play from a position below the hole. As usual, I've got my partner for the Golf Tactical Podcast, Kalia, and let's talk a little bit about keeping the ball below the hole. Talk to me about some times when you've played golf, and I know today we've got out and we played some golf, and we had a few opportunities. I think one opportunity we had was a short par four, and you hit a great second shot and it rolled up there past the hole, and you had a downhill shot from off the fringe. Talk about keeping the ball below the hole and why that's important, and talk about some troubles you've had when you've gotten the ball above the hole, trying to make those comeback putts to save a par or to get up and up and down from off the green.
Yeah, I think it's much easier to make a good shot from below the hole because you have a better advantage point towards the hole as you do when it's kind of like downhill, because your ball could roll, has the possibility to roll more down. And it's also necessary to know the right club that you have to hit a good shot from below the hole.
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good point, is that when you're playing above the hole and hitting a putt to a hole that is, and it's a downhill putt, you know, like you've hit your chip or your pitch and it's gone past the hole, and now your next putt back to try to make it is downhill. For some reason, you just get a few extra rolls because it's downhill. Sometimes the break is a little bit tougher to play, but to take away those extra rolls that you'll get on the ball, it's better to try to play yourself from a position that's below, sort of working your way up. Now, you know, you don't want to just kind of like, you know, just, you know, bump at it and stay below the hole and you know, hit a million shots. You want to try to advance the ball close to the hole, but it's much easier to score and strategize your next shot when you're below the hole. So, you know, kind of the main thing that we're talking about, I want to say this key thinking point is when you're off the green and you're in that position we're calling position three, off the green, you have a chip. Do whatever you can. As Kaylee said, even make the right club selection that you need to make in order to stay below the hole on your next shot. So, you know that you've got a big upslope in front of you, and you know, you're thinking, well, I can hit an 8-iron chip, I can hit a 9-iron chip, I can hit a pitching wedge chip. Well, the one that's for sure probably going to get to the hole or past it is going to be the 8-iron. So that might be a club that you say, well, maybe I shouldn't go with that one. Or if you're going to hit that one, do some things that make it so that you don't get as much roll with that club. And we'll talk about that later. One of the next things I want you to sort of focus your mind on in terms of strategic thinking, and that's what we do at Golf Tactical or Tactical Golf, is we focus on your thinking. And so one of the things that I want you to really think about when you're in position three, not only keeping the ball below the hole, but when you're hitting that chip or that pitch, it's so, so important to focus on the landing area. Remember, you're not going to hit a chip or a pitch that flies all the way to the hole. That's just that what's going to happen in that case is you're going to hit it all the way there and you're going to get some roll. Now, if you use a high lofted club to pitch with, a 60-degree wedge or higher, your L wedge, your lob wedge, if you hit those clubs, the ball has a tendency to stop faster on the green, but you're always going to have some roll. There's always going to be some roll that you're going to get. So it's really, really imperative to focus on a landing area in front of the hole. If you're using a sand wedge or a pitching wedge or any type of club to chip with, you really want to use your imagination. It's really important to use your imagination and look on that green, maybe get down low to see which way that the green contours may curve and which way the ball will roll. But you want to try to focus on that landing area so that your ball hits in that area, you know, in an approximate proximity to that landing spot, and the ball will then roll to the hole the way it should, the way you want it to, so that it gets up there as close as possible. What are some of your ideas? What are some of the things that you do to help you focus on that landing area and hit that landing area? What are some of the tricks in your toolbox?
Okay, so a lot of times I will, like, you usually find not all greens are always swept as well as they should be, and sometimes there's, like, little pieces of grass and things and leaves on the greens.
Sure.
And sometimes I'll walk up, I'll look between my ball and the hole, and I'll pick a landing spot, like a piece of leaf or something, and then I can kind of approximate my landing spot and aim to take practice swings, aiming at that landing spot to hit that landing spot.
I think something you just brought up, it's really, really important that everybody out there, all of our subscribers that are subscribing to the Golf Tactical Podcast, need to remember that it's really crucial, especially on a position three shot, a chip or a pitch, that you do walk up at least halfway to the hole. And what that does is that gives your mind a better sense of the distance. It's really important to have that sense of how far you need to go. You just won't get it if you stand by the hole. Let's say you walk up to your shot, you position yourself, and you move no closer between you and the hole. Let's say you're 30 yards still away from the hole. You're just not getting your mind a very precise feel and gauge on the distance to the hole. So it's really important to walk up, and I like that you said that. So you mentioned picking a leaf or something on the green, looking, not just, you know, imagining a spot on the green, but finding something tangible that you can see on the green. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. And I want everybody out there that's listening to try that. Really go up there, look for, you know, an old cup that may have been cut into the green, a fade spot, an old ball mark that may be already repaired, but that would be a great aiming point. Leaves are a great aiming point. There's so many different things that you can use to hit that will really help you hit that landing point and then roll up. And remember, when you're choosing a landing point, do take into consideration the break that you're going to have on the ball once it lands on. And as we've said earlier, really focus on trying to keep that ball below the hole, especially if the pin is located on a big slope or near a big slope. Well, let's talk about the different types of shots. And you talked about, Kalia, making the right type of club selection before you hit your shot. But what I want to talk about is sort of the building blocks to good chipping and pitching. And what that is consistency. And the way that you create consistency with your chip shots or your pitch shots is it's really important to practice and ingrain a backstroke that goes the same distance back. And what I like to use is 7 o'clock. And I just sort of imagine if the club is straight down on a ball that's at 6 o'clock, I like to take the club back with all of my chips. And with pitches, if I've got a little bit more distance, it'll go between 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, not usually much further. Some of the longer shots will be in, the club shaft will come back along that clock to about 9 o'clock position. So, but all of your little chips, it doesn't matter what they are, whatever club, maybe a wedge, 9 iron, an 8 iron. Sometimes if you're a long, long ways away from a green and you've got a lot of flat surface, could even be a 7 iron, but you want to ingrain and practice and master a 7 o'clock backstroke. What that 7 o'clock backstroke will give you is that'll give you the consistency you need to repeat these shots every time. How do you work on that 7 o'clock shot and those distances? Because that's the best way to get distance control. Because if you're always taking it back the same distance with all your clubs, then if you need to go 5 yards shorter, you might use a pitching wedge instead of a 9 iron. So how do you work on those when you're practicing?
Yeah, usually how I work on those is I'll usually take each club and then do it a certain amount back. And then I can gauge what distance I'm going to hit the club. Like, for example, I can hit G wedge like 35 feet.
Yeah, okay, that's probably more than 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that's
back shot. Like an 8 or 9 o'clock.
Yeah, eight
shot.
Or nine. Yeah.
Yeah, but just getting out there when you're practicing, and you know, if it's a 7 o'clock distance back on your backswing, you're swinging it back to about where the 7 o'clock position would be, and you're trying your different clubs. Measure those different clubs. You might have a flat surface. Just see how far they all roll, and take a little notebook with you and write down pitching wedge, 7 o'clock back swing, the ball rolls, like Haley said, 30 yards, whatever it might be. And it's going to be different for each one of us as we do that. Well, let's talk a little bit about prevailing thoughts, because it's really important to have a prevailing thought in your head when you're hitting a chip shot or a pitch shot. And I like to go back to one of the best short game golfers I've ever played with, and that's my brother. I always kind of go back mentally to a tournament that he and I played in Sacramento years and years ago, and it was a two-person best ball tournament that we played in, and we won the tournament, and we played pretty well in the matches, we tied overall, and it came down to a playoff. And I remember the first playoff hole, our opponents hit their second shot to, gosh, about 15 feet from the hole. And I thought, goodness gracious, we've lost. You know, these guys are going to beat us. And we hit our drive down the right in the trees, hit the next shot under the trees, over the green, to the edge of the green. Had probably about a 15-yard pitch. I think I chipped mine up there, maybe about 4 feet, 5 feet, which gave us a good chance to make the putt for par should our opponents miss their birdie putt and then make the putt. But I remember my brother got up, and he hit a pitch shot, and it rolled up there, and it just kept going and going, and it looked phenomenal. And then, you know, holy moly, hit the flag, and it dropped right in for a birdie. And, you know, we just were overjoyed, because we pretty much at that point knew that it was such an amazing shot that our opponents would have one heck of a time making their putt to make a birdie. So I asked him about that. You know, I said, you know, what did you do on that shot? You know, what were you thinking about? What were your thoughts? Because that's probably one of the greatest shots I've ever seen. And, you know, when I asked him, he told me the only thing that I was focusing on was just making solid contact with the ball, was just making sure that at impact I was going to hit the ball crisply and, you know, not mishit it at impact. Just try to get the most perfect impact, you know, when the club on that pitch hit the ball. And I really think that's the key. Now, Kaylee, today we played, and on number 8, you did chip a shot in today. I remember that.
Yeah, I did.
Talk to me about what were you thinking on that. That was a par 3, and you were a little bit over the green, and you really made a great chip to make birdie, and it went in. Talk to me about what you were thinking, and how did that, maybe just talk back that how that shot went for you.
Okay, so I was kind of near a bunker, so it was kind of sandy ground there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, I was mainly focusing on making sure I hit the actual ball and not too thin, and especially not too fat, because I know there's a possibility for me to hit underneath it because it's so sandy underneath the ball. And so I focused on that, and it hit up on the green and rolled in.
Yeah, and you really did. I remember right before you hit the shot, I told you, just because you were taking some practice swings and the sand was popping up, because near where you were by that sand trap, enough other golfers had hit shots out of that sand trap that a lot of the sand had built up on the grass. And so it was kind of like a sand pile, not a real deep one, but there was enough of a sand pile that it would cause problems. I remember telling you that you nearly had to nip that shot very cleanly with the ball first. And you really made a great backstroke, and you hit it nearly perfect, and it just rolled right in. So you made a lot of really good tactical decisions on that shot, and you were rewarded for it. So, you know, when you out there are listening, when you're around the greens, I want your prevailing thought to be on your pitches and chips. Focus less about the end result. We don't want you to be focusing on how close you're going to get it to the hole, where you want it to finish up. I don't want you to think of that at all. If you've made the correct club selection and you are you have a good sense of how far back to take the club so that you control the amount of distance that this club's going to run, just focus on solid contact. That's what we want you to do, just to focus on solid contact, and everything else will take care of itself. Now, one of the things that we've mentioned in this episode quite a lot of theory or things that some professionals have mentioned, and one of the things I remember coming across years ago in my reading was an idea that was someone that was a friend of Ben Hogan had proposed, that he mentioned to him this idea of what Ben Hogan called the long arm. And this, I think, relates a lot to putting, but it can even apply to chipping, and I'll try to explain the best that I understand it. But Ben Hogan sort of had this metaphysical belief about his short game and his putting, such that he felt that, you know, over a ball, he could literally imagine his left arm, let's say if you're a right-handed player and you're over the ball, literally extending out like Plastic Man or Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four, literally stretching his arm all the way down to the hole and kind of imagining that distance, as if your arm were a giant tape measure rolling all the way out to the hole. And for some reason, that long arm theory, that long arm conceptualization helped him to make, you know, putts that were that moved up closer to the hole. And I think the same thing can apply to chipping. So, you know, maybe give that a try. It's really, I think, really what you're just doing is you're just harnessing your imagination, and you're kind of visualizing with your head down on the ball. Instead of looking up at the hole, you're just sort of imagining, you know, like this tape measure or arm extending out from your body all the way to the hole. And almost as if your eyes kind of go right along that arm, along the ground to the hole. The best thing that I can think of is that, you know, the NFL now has employed this camera that swoops in the air above the football field, and they run a camera, and it's kind of what you're doing. It's almost like an out-of-body experience where you're kind of extending down that line, the putting line or the chipping line, to the hole. So a really important thing, again, in position three, prevailing thoughts. Your prevailing thoughts need to be imagining the distance to the hole and really focusing on solid contact. Solid contact. You know, one last thing that I want to talk about, I mentioned it earlier, is sort of a way to control on your chips and your pitches, to control the amount of run. And there's actually many that I've read about. Some of them I picked up, I came across a Golf Digest book somewhere. It had an article that I think Tiger Woods had contributed to it. And he had numerous things. And some of the things that he mentioned were dealing with his grip and different types of grips on the club make the ball roll a little bit further or a little bit shorter when you're hitting a pitch or a chip. So we're not going to talk about those. I'm just going to talk about something really simple, and that's the club face. And one of the things you can do if you're if you've got a chip, and again, we want to play always from a position below the hole, but let's say you're above the hole and you've got a chip shot that's running down the hill, and we want to hit a good shot, but we want to be careful not to allow the ball to shimmy away from us, to keep rolling a little bit further than we need. And one of the things you can do is you can put the ball out on the toe or out on the end of the club, not the hosel side where the shaft connects, but the other side, the toe. And what that does is you sort of position the ball out on the toe, and you just hit your normal chip. And because you're not hitting it on the sweet spot of the club, you're deadening the shot. The ball's not going to roll as far. So when you've got a downhill shot and it looks really slick, the green's really fast, you just position that ball out on the toe a little bit on your chip and just leave everything else the same, and that chip's not going to roll as far. Now, again, this is something you want to practice on a practice putting green or something like that. But, you know, to deaden those shots, put the ball in the toe. Now, you actually get the, I don't know what to say, there's really no way to make it go further, you know, to do an opposite effect by putting it on the heel. But what you can do is you can grip the club a little bit higher on the shaft with your chips. You can grip it, instead of in the middle part of the shaft, you might grip it up a half an inch or an inch. And that also, depending on the loft of the club, if you have a low-lofted club like a 9-iron, a wedge, or an 8-iron, you will get a little bit extra roll that way. So if you've got an uphill shot to the hole and you need a little bit of extra roll, you can do that. You can hit that shot by gripping it a little bit longer on the shaft, and that will help. So we talked about a lot of things today, and I just want to do a quick review before we talk about what you can do to get out there and to practice these things. So as a summary for this episode, let's think about the main things. That position three is the short game. It's very, very important to think strategically with the short game. One, we need to keep the ball below the hole. That's our primary strategic thought, is trying to do whatever we can in terms of club selection and distance control so that we keep the ball below the hole and we're always putting on our shot or attacking the ball, attacking the hole from a position below the hole. One of the things that we need to do is we need to focus on the landing area. Focus on your landing area. Pick something that's tangible on the green, but focus on that landing area as the way to get the ball to maximize its ability to get close to the hole so that you can make the shot. Again, like Bobby Jones says, turning three strokes into two. And let's think about prevailing thoughts. The prevailing thought on your pitches and your chips needs to not be target-oriented, but needs to be more of focusing on solid contact and process-oriented. Again, we're moving from target orientation to process orientation. That's going to give you more consistency with your shots. So now let's sort of roll into what we can do to practice these different types of things. And primarily just getting out on the practice putting green or when you're playing, throwing a few balls down, hitting some chips from those different distances, working on that 7 o'clock backswing or that 8.5 degree backswing, and just sort of work from there. In upcoming episodes, we're going to talk a little bit about what I think is the best way to practice and evaluate your short game, and that's something developed by a man named Dave Peltz, who's regarded as one of the foremost experts on short game in golf. But it's a short game examination that he has, and he's basically discovered that there are, I believe, 7 high percentage shots that you would hit around a green and for a pitch. And he's developed sort of an assessment to assess how good you are in relation to the professionals. Hey everybody, we just want to point out to you that Golf Tactical is now on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and we look forward to reading your questions and answering them on the air. So again, thanks for tuning in to the Golf Tactical podcast.
Golf Tactical, building your mental game one thought at a time. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like
shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now. Golf Tactical Episode 3, The Short Game. Thanks for tuning in. Airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars. I could really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now. Yeah. I could use a dream or a genie or a wish to go back to a place much simpler than this. Cause after all the partying and smashing and crashing, and all the glitz and the glam and the fashion, and all the pandemonium and all the madness, there comes a time where you fade to the blackness. And when you're staring at that phone in your lap, and you hoping but them people never call you back. But that's just how the story unfolds. You get another hand soon after you fold. And when your plans unravel in the sand, what would you wish for if you had one chance? So airplane, airplane, sorry I'm late. I'm on my way, so don't close.